It's time for VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk number 25.
I can do one hand. That's plenty.
You can do it like in Roman numerals on one hand?
No, I haven't figured that out yet.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to continue with our Audio Masters Roundtable. We have got Jordan Reynolds and Cliff Zellman and Uncle Roy Yokelson joining us. And we've got all sorts of questions you guys have been sending in, which ought to make for a very interesting hour here on Tech Talk. So stay tuned. And if you got any questions and you're watching this live, send them in on VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk right now.
From the outer reaches, they came, bearing the knowledge of what it takes to properly record your voiceover audio. And together, from the center of the VO universe, they bring it to you now. George Whittem, the engineer to the VO stars, a Virginia Tech grad with the skills to build, set up, and maintain the professional VO studios of the biggest names in VO today. And you, Dan Leonard, the VoiceOver Home Studio Master, a professional voice talent with the knowledge and experience to help you create a professional sounding home VO studio. And each week, they allow you into their world, making the complex simple, debunking the myths of what it takes to create great-sounding audio, answering your questions, showing you the latest and greatest in VO tech, and having a dandy time doing it. Welcome to VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk.
VoiceOver Body Shop Tech Talk is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan signature products, Source Elements, remote studio connections for everyone, VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your VO website isn't a pain in the butt, VOHeroes.com, become a hero to your clients with award-winning voiceover training, J. Michael Collins Demos, when quality matters, and VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live to drive from their super secret clubhouse and studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are the guys.
All right, time for Tech Talk across the universe with Cliff Zellman in Dallas. Hi, Cliff.
Oh, let's turn on their mics.
Yeah, that might help.
I always miss that. Sorry, you guys.
Hi, Cliff.
Hi.
Okay. Uncle Roy joining us from Bloomington, New Jersey.
Bloomington. Bloomfield.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
And Jordan Reynolds, who's joining us from right here in our secret clubhouse in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, secret.
Yeah.
I didn't know the password. I had to do some...
Didn't even ring the bell. You just walked in the gate.
Yeah, I know.
Usually it's nice and locked.
Yeah, I made it.
Yes. Anyway, we're going to talk tech, and we got a lot of questions from people. And again, if you have a question for us, throw it in our chat room on our webpage if you happen to be watching it there. Or if you're on Facebook, throw it in there. Because if we don't know the answer, there is no answer. Anyway, what do we got there, Jorge?
So... My favorite question of all time in VoiceOver, which is from Matt Simmons.
All right.
What's the best all-around mic?
Can we, like, reach through the internet and grab him by the throat and throttle him?
It's round. Round.
Is that a pop screen for a BK-1?
What is
a BK-5.
421. Oh,
421.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, look at that.
Yeah. I didn't know that existed. That's pretty neat.
I love the BK5, though.
Yeah.
You have a 421?
I have two ivory old school ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got the MDs. Yeah. I need the black one. You could go ahead and shoot it on over.
All right. You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
So I had to give at least some answer, right? So yes. I think for under $100. The MXL 990 is pretty damn good.
I love
it. I've heard a lot of really good stuff out of that cheap mic.
Really good.
Let's see. Jordan, you do the $100 to $300 price range.
Pick a mic. AT2020 or AT875R by Audio Technica. Yeah. Both mics by Audio Technica.
Those are great mics.
Yeah.
Can I throw one in there?
In that price range? Sure.
Yeah, Rode NT1.
Yep, NT1.
The black one.
Not the 1A. Not the 1A.
Not the 1A.
Right.
No, it's too thin.
Yeah. Okay. And from $300 to $500 range.
$300 to $500?
CAD 1000?
I was going to say the E100S I like.
Yeah, CAD E100S.
No.
You know, that's, you know, I've got that. Don't use it that much. You know, got the Bluebird here, which sounds
300-ish range. Yeah.
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 It's within that range. And, of course, the VO1A, which is
right on that $300 price range.
You know, they're all good mics. My belief is the best mic to have is the one you have. Because it's
kind of like a camera.
Yeah. Or as my mom used to say, better to the devil you know than the devil you don't.
All right. So, Cliff, a mic from $500 to $800.
Look, you get the Joe Cipriano tennis special.
That's true.
You know, you can see him on eBay for $500.
Yeah.
You know what, guys? Listen, you know, Sweetwater gives you 48 months, no interest. Automatic payments.
Good for you,
Cliff. If you want a 416, you can pay $19 a month. It's one less sushi dinner. Don't let price, you know. But of course, if you want to use, you know, what works best for you. In that price range, gosh, I don't know.
102.
I'd go for the Joe. Yeah, a little bright. I'd go for the Joe Cipriano special. I'd try to find a $800 416.
And did we get Uncle Roy's recommendation in there?
Norman 102, Clifton
102, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's
like... Uncle Roy's 414.
Yeah.
If you can book some time in Uncle Roy's studio, uses 414.
Is that an EB, Uncle Roy?
Yes.
Oh baby. Oh,
yeah, vintage.
Oh, baby.
Next
there you
question.
Go, man. It's the best answer ever on that question.
Everybody come to New Jersey. Well, you're coming anyway, but that's besides the point.
Okay. JDK says, most voiceover YouTube videos are like diagnosing your own medical problem on WebMD. Just a statement, but yeah, a good one. An apt right. one.
That's a great question.
Paul said, Paul Stefano, our old pal. In 2020, are there any USB mics good enough as a main studio mic? I have an opinion because I just tested one.
Yeah, you test a lot of USB
stuff. I tested the Sennheiser MK4 Digital. And while I don't like that it has no headphone jack, I hate that. I hate that it doesn't have a proper gain control for when plugged into a Mac, but it does on an iOS device. Weird crap like that. It sounds it does sound really good. Like it's a really hi-fi sounding mic. Really cool. Really nice. But features-wise, it's a pain. It's just not fun to use. So it takes a blow. It's also $400. Oh. It ain't cheap. So that's my opinion on USB. But yeah, there are good sounding ones. Just would you choose to use them? Especially when a good one's $400 and you can get a signal chain now for $250.
Right.
That sounds damn good. It just seems like you're crippling yourself for no good reason. So that's my...
But with that, there's also a barrier to entry with learning. Like if you're just starting, right? If you're really new and that's like a lot more stuff, more knobs, more things to worry about versus just... Like my USB mic, if you're just getting started, right?
Really, really fresh off the turnip truck. Then,
yeah.
Like a 2020 USB. The Plus is nice. It has the headphone jack.
Apogee your audio. Mic Plus.
I was going to say,
that's my favorite.
The only Apogee really mic, good. The original, was a great mic.
The original is good. They're all good.
I mean, and you can use it as a main studio mic and carry it around with you because if you go on the road, even though I say when you go on the road for whatever it is you go on the road for, not to be doing voiceover. Unless you have handcuffs on, you say you've got to be available 24 hours a day. The Apogee mic or the improved models of that, the old original was great. Not very forgiving on plosives.
No. If you could get good audio out of that mic, good technique, then
it's a great mic.
It's
on par with some more expensive microphones. They did a great job at Apogee, but Apogee is great because their digital end is really good. They make great preamps and
converters,
and that's why
great
that's
converters.
Why
they,
yeah, they're really good. So
how about you guys?
Rode NT,
Cliff. Rode NT and NT USB from Rode.
I have no experience with USB microphones. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a condescending way. I don't own any, and I've never used one.
Yeah,
he has a Yeti.
When you use a 416 as a talkback mic, I get it,
Clay. Yeah, yeah. Put it in my back pocket. You know, you cop on the plane. It's great. And I don't know anything about USB microphones.
Cliffy. I mean, Uncle Roy.
Yeah, I go with the original Apogee. I think that was a great. Yeah. It's probably the only mic that does sound good inside a Chaotica eyeball.
It fits. I was going to say that. It fits and sounds pretty good. Yeah.
I loved your thing with stuffing the socks in there, though. That was
awesome.
Yeah. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, I guess some legal action around that? Or
No. And Harlan wrote me a really nice letter, and he sent me a recording sign. for being a mensch. So why not?
I love it.
Next question.
Greg, get Greg's voice. Get Fred's voice. Sorry. Does Adobe Audition? Oh, this is a goofy question. Does Adobe Audition go all the way to 11 when you turn it to the right? This is a question.
Nicely. Unfortunately, it goes to 12 if you know how to misuse it.
Yeah, it's true. A couple from Peter Ponce.
Hey, Peter.
Isn't part of the obsession with tools like the eyeball driven by marketing? Yes. It's the only tool you'll ever need to sound fantastic.
Absolutely. Isn't that every product, though?
Sure.
You know, well, headphones, microphones.
I mean, all advertising has to have a little hyperbole with it. But,
yeah.
You know, but like Cliff said, it's a tool.
Yeah. It's a tool.
When you go to the trade shows and you see the demo, then you try it. It's up to you.
Yeah. The Chaotic Eyeball undeniably changes the sound of the mic.
Think just because of the compression design, I think that it absolutely does.
Yeah.
And I think that a microphone like a 2020 sounds great in an eyeball. It takes away all the harsh, awful nastiness that a 2020 offers. and then you throw a microphone, a high quality microphone into an eyeball, and it ain't happening. It makes a cheap mic sound good. It makes a good mic sound like crap. So
it's
right. But it's a tool. You know, it's a tool.
I have one. We have an audience question in the audience.
Yes.
Let's check that mic.
Jeff Holman.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. So mouth noise is the bane of my existence. One of the problems I have is this breathing thing where it's like, and I believe what Cliff was saying something about a sword swallowing technique or something.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
The sword swallowing technique. I call it that because it's in mixed company. But if you would take a flashlight and you hold it over the head of a sword swallow, there'd pretty much be a straight line right down to his pupic. So inhaling as much air as you can, fill your lungs, get them comfortable. Keep your mouth and your throat open before you start the sentence. So instead of starting a sentence like, how many times have you, it's going to be much cleaner. There's no push. There's no plosive because you're not starting from a closed esophagus, a closed mouth. That'll help your clicks, in the beginning of your sentences. A lot of people start, how many times?
I do that. I hate when I do it.
We hate to hear that because a lot of times we're listening on big monitors and those, it's like, it's negative reinforcement. And you say, I don't like this read. Why? I don't know. Well, because you're hearing, it's annoying. Right. Obviously the best thing to do is try to tame it on physical level. Otherwise, notch those guys, blow up your waveform, find it. Very easy to find. Adobe Audition again is very easy to find. Notch up. But the sword swallow technique, another neat thing about that is hang on.
He has a sword, ladies and gentlemen.
Shing. Good.
Theater of the mind.
From the beginning of fall to the end of spring is a long time, and since there's really nothing anyone can do about it, you might as well make the best of it by driving the fully redesigned Kia Soul. And when summer finally arrives, you'll be ready.
On one breath.
Well, yeah, that's one thing.
You guys. Now, pull it in, hold it for 2 seconds. Zero is a number, right? Zero, one, two. Start reading. Don't push the air out. Let the air out come naturally. You triple the amount of lines you can read. You won't run out of breath. You don't have to stop.
And you won't have that initial syllable that's
really loud.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Hello. And it's breath control, you know, look, yeah. We're in our booths by ourselves. Nobody can see us when we're recording and auditioning and stuff. Maybe,
yeah, hey, you can edit that out.
Yeah,
edit all that. As goofy as you want.
Hold it in. Hold it for 2 seconds. And when you start to speak, don't push it out. If you inhale, hi there, how are you? I'm already done. I got 4 lines. I'm out of air. But if you let that air just go out, just by keeping your throat, your lungs open, as it comes out, it's going to be beautiful. And you double the amount of lines you can read. So that's there right. You go.
And can I add something to that?
Absolutely. That's why you're here.
Well, what I heard, it's why I'm not a vocal anatomy expert. I'm studying it. Like I'm in the, like you think at this point in my career, I should know these things, but so I don't know exactly like what palate is doing what, but what I heard when you were just demonstrating it, I heard like, it was like a combination of glottal stops, but then mm-hmm. like, you know,
could be.
Yeah. And so just be, that's all right here. That's your vocal cords doing this, so, which is just air being compressed. Like, so I don't, that Wittkliss technique could help with the beginning if it's happening at the beginning. But if there's like a deeper sounding click happening at the ends of your phrases, is it usually at the end?
Yeah. Oh. It's the beginning. It's the end. It's in the middle.
It's in the middle.
That's a nasal.
Yeah. So then there's nasal clicks, which the declicker, you can, like I was saying, you could lower it to the low frequency setting. There's only two mm-hmm. sliders. There's strength and then low and high frequency. If you slide it down to the low, I would try that. If that still doesn't work on my, I have really bad allergies a lot of days. And what happens is if you get a lot of congestion up in here, it will, at the ends of your phrases, you'll say something and then like, you know, if you like do a fake, I'm doing my plugging my nose sound. Uh-huh. And if I let go of that feeling, there's, I don't know what part it is. Someone could do it in the chat, but when I let go and now I'm back in my normal voice, when I let go of that sound, it creates a click.
Uh-huh.
Not, so let me try to make this clear. When I'm on a clicky, a very sinus clicky day, I'll be like, you know, only $1.99. And then like, I don't breathe. I don't exhale. I don't inhale. I keep my mouth open and I don't,
that's it.
Like, I make sure my mouth anatomy stops and I go to the side of the mic and then I just relax my palate, whatever it is. And then I hear the click release, but I wait instead of just like $1.99 and then just being relaxed. I'm like $1.99.
That's great.
And I literally hear the click. And then it's in between the lines. So the engineer will already be cutting that out if it's a session.
Yeah.
Or if you're editing your own audiobooks, it's silence. You're deleting breaths, right?
Yes.
So it'll be with a breath.
Right. Yeah, so if you're doing like a 30-second read or something like that, it doesn't take that much time to go through there in audition.
Exactly.
And just doing an auto heal, it's like, oh, there's that boom.
Exactly.
And out of there.
But he's like, talking about audiobooks.
There. I'm talking
about
audiobooks.
Oh, audiobooks are a whole different. That's a,
so just play with that, like closing your like sounding like that, and then you'll feel this part. I don't know. I think it's the soft palate, like touching and releasing. Uh-huh. That can literally control a sinus click from actually triggering. It's
awesome.
Weird. I don't know. Wish I could describe it better, but that's the best I can describe
it. Well, we've had some episodes with a couple different ENTs and voice therapy people, even a laryngeal massage person on our show.
Wow.
So definitely check back on VOBS for people that we've covered a lot of stuff. I don't even remember a third of what they said, but.
And Dan's ENT.
Dan from back in
Joel,
Buffalo.
I gotta get a hold of Joel. He may be retired by now, but.
That was my favorite VO body shop, East West.
Yeah, E-Webs, yeah.
E-Webs.
E-Webs, that was great.
Yeah, my ENT, Joel Bernstein, back in Buffalo, has an ego the size of Texas, but he's a great guy. But also a world-renowned ENT, or I'm sorry, a rhino-otolaryngologist.
Rhino-otolaryngologist.
And who was he up against?
John Taylor.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And we missed John too.
That was oil and water. It was the best.
So fantastic.
Oh yeah, we started talking about boogers and
it was a wild
night.
It was so good.
Next question, I think, from
Peter Ponce is what I got.
Go for it.
Which is better, the Audient ID4 or the Yamaha AG03?
Or are they just different?
Man, that's
I'm gonna jump in real quick. I have the AG06. I really dig it. It's semi-pro. Okay. I really dig it. I use it every day. There's nothing wrong with it. It's semi-pro.
You have to back that up, man. What does that mean? What does that mean?
I would, if I had one sitting next to the other for recording, I would use the Audio.
Yeah, but why?
I think it sounds better.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it's simpler. But as far as what you can do, and with the AG03 and the AG06, if you're a guitar player, it's got amp emulators in there. It's got an on-screen compressor and EQ. If you want to get into that stuff, it's got foldbacks, and it's $150. Yeah. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, if you're shooting, you know, big time stuff out there, you probably don't want to use it as your main interface. I would go for the audio.
Yeah. I'm actually testing an ID14 right now, and I like it. You know, it sounds great. It's got a lot of cool features. I'm still trying to figure out how to use it, you know, because it has the
console thing.
It has the console thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I have to write some articles on it. And so far, I mean, it's what I'm using, you know, and I've got two I2s and I've got the AG03 and I've, you know, they keep piling up and it's like, well, I could use this one. I could use that one. I like the audience stuff. You know, they're a little different.
Yeah. Audience definitely going to just be more simple to manage and hook up. The Yamahas are very busy.
They are busy.
Features wise.
There's just a lot of stuff a voice talent won't use, but if you want to be able to expand, like plug in maybe something else externally or have a second mic, cause you do music like Cliff was saying.
Or produce stuff.
Yeah. Or honestly, I use mine for karaoke. Mara and I were singing Beatles.
Yeah,
songs
a good night. Karaoke too.
And it's hooked up the SM58, yes. Put it in. It's got reverb and compressor on it. And then I route that into this home theater system. Home theater. USB. I don't have a theater. I have a family room.
You don't need
TV.
You don't need external power. It goes off your USB.
Yeah, and it's USB powered. So.
Yeah. Yep. And it's great for the money.
Yeah.
Man, it's beautiful.
I feel like the audience woods does sound a little bit more cleaner.
I totally agree.
A little bit lower noise.
Yeah, lower noise floor. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Paul Stefano.
I love the Yamaha.
Yeah. Agreed. Says Studio Bricks. Is it the gold standard, or it seems to be the gold standard anyway? Are there any newcomers we should know about in the booth scene? You guys have any opinions? I mean, Studio Bricks has done a hell of a job making a desirable Mercedes-Benz level booth.
They really understand what it means to be building a soundproof booth for voice actors. I mean, you know, the Guillermo was a musician, which is why he designed this thing. Because vocal booths are designed to primarily keep noise from coming out so you're not bothering people on the outside.
Right.
And that was the design. But they also understood and really marketed and really asked how someone uses it as a voice actor. And they really solved a lot of those problems.
You know, I'm going to be really, you know, frank about this, but there are other companies out there. Some of them I've had closer relationships than others. But, you know, on a whole, the one who's listened the most about what I think should be improved or what is, you know, what could be made better or just listen to me at all, frankly, is the Studio Bricks guys. You know, I've met Guillermo at shows. I've talked to him many times about improve this, improve that. Has he done everything? No, but it's his company. It's not mine.
For how small of a company they are, the amount of stuff that they've changed and improved and how much time they give to listen is astounding compared to, you know, I won't name any companies, but there's a lot bigger booth companies that we all know. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I have a Studio Bricks at home. That's what, not only do they look the best.
Or the OnePlus?
We have a Pro. It's a triple
Pro, which is that the size of the OnePlus? What's the dimension?
Oh, dimensions? It's custom. It's like 5.5 by 5.5.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. You went with a square booth? Are you using just the acoustics? Did you get the pack? Oh, you tuned it.
Well, yeah, it's a work in progress. Got a different desk, which only has like one less shelf than the desk I replaced it with, and it's changed differently. So right now
you're
literally like
picky. I know.
Yeah, I know. So, but yeah, I need to get some more bass traps in it. But yeah. But on the booth thing, I would like to say that as much as I love Studio Bricks, at the end of the day, like Dan was saying, a booth, when you're ready to get a booth, like booth level VO.
Booth level.
Right?
Because you need one.
Yeah. Because you actually need one. And it's not only to block yourself from getting out. Like,
when you're doing a lot of on-demand voiceover, I call it.
Yeah.
Like you have to do it at 3 on Tuesday. Well, crap, that's when the freaking gardeners, doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. That's when you need that booth.
Yeah, because it stops sound from getting in.
Yeah.
But there's still all of the other companies. As long as you go with a double wall or thicker, they're all fairly comparable as far as how much noise they're blocking from getting in.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, Studio Bricks has the most, I don't know, I can't quote, don't can't quote me on this because I can't keep up on all the prices, but I think they have the most reasonably priced double wall because their base model is double wall.
Yeah.
They don't even have a single wall. Their door is quite amazing.
It takes 10 people to put it on.
Yeah. Very heavy. Very heavy door. But you're going to wait a long time. And this is the problem with demand also and their proximity to the U.S. They're in Spain.
Yeah.
That's the double-edged sword of it. If you need something really fast, a whisper room can ship you stuff really fast. vocalbooth.com, they've always had a really good ventilation system on their premium level ones. Their top level ventilation is 6-inch diameter pipe, and it is darn quiet. So I give them huge props for that, and their booths sound pretty good. I hate that they glue all the foam into the walls because I don't want foam all over the walls. I'd hate that about Vocal Booth. They all have their little pros and cons. Studio Bricks overall, I think.
And they all have to be tuned. They all have to be acoustically treated. I helped somebody get their basement sounding so good. And she said, well, I'm a professional voiceover. I got to buy a Studio Bricks. $14,000 later, the noise floor is better. Could be very difficult. Take the bass traps out. No, take this panel out. No, take this back. To get it to sound like what her basement was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're shrinking the size of the room dramatically, right?
Yeah.
All booths have challenges, you know. Every booth comes with inherent challenges. One of them is just to try to make it sound like it's in an actual real-life environment rather than a little closet, having some life to it, having some propagation of the sound. But I'll tell you, Studio Bricks are gorgeous. It's like walking into a sushi bar, isn't it? I mean, it's so beautiful.
And fun to put together.
Yeah. If your house, it's
the hard that makes it great, right?
If you live in Texas where all the ceilings are 10 feet high, then get the extra tall one. Like if you have the space for it, get the one extra foot extension. Yeah. It's a big improvement. Yeah. Really, it really is. There is a company in LA. I've met these guys now. Finally, they've been wanting to meet me and
the LA booth,
LA vocal booth.
I've met with them.
These guys. They're young dudes. They're hip hop musicians, but they're paying attention to what we're all talking about.
Yeah.
And I checked out their booth recently at That's VO, and their premium one was really darn good. Good isolation, well made. The acoustics, they were using foam pretty much, but they had enough of it. 4-inch thick and everything. It was pretty dead.
And they could do custom panels.
And they could do custom stuff.
They can actually do like acoustic panels instead of foam.
Yeah, they're willing to customize heck out of it. And they're very reasonable and they're in LA. Yeah. So they're just outside. So if you're in LA, don't overlook them. They will ship elsewhere, but another good company. They're kind of new.
Good guys. All right.
Moving on. Let's take a break.
Yes.
Let's hear from our sponsors who make this show possible. All right. We'll be back with your questions with Jordan Reynolds, Cliff Zeldman and Uncle Roy Yokelson right after these important words.
This is Bill Ratner, and you're enjoying Voice Over Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam, VOBS.TV.
Your dynamic voiceover career requires extra resources to keep moving ahead. Now there's one place where you can explore everything the voiceover industry has to offer. That place is voiceoverextra.com. Whether you're just exploring a voiceover career or a seasoned veteran ready to reach that next professional level, stay in touch with market trends, coaching, products and services while avoiding scams and other pitfalls. VoiceOver Extra has hundreds of articles, free resources and training that will save you time and help you succeed. Learn from the most respected talents, coaches, and industry insiders when you join the online sessions bringing you the most current information on topics like audiobooks, auditioning, casting, home studio setup and equipment, marketing, performance techniques, and much more. It's time to hit your one-stop daily resource for voiceover success. Sign up for a free subscription to newsletters and reports and get 14 bonus reports on how to ace the voiceover audition. It's all here at voiceoverextra.com. That's voiceoverxtra.com.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use.
You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
Audiobook narration, ACX, Audible, rights holders, and success as a narrator. That's what you want, right? How about a free class on how to make that happen? Even better, how about three free classes on how to become a successful and happy audiobook narrator? It's about to happen, and all you need to do is let us know you're interested. Go to acxmasterclass.com to jump on the alert list for the upcoming 2020 training that they're offering. Absolutely free. That's acxmasterclass.com. The first class is Friday, January 17th, and they'll continue for the next week. To be able to watch these classes, just let us know you're interested. Visit acxmasterclass.com. That's acxmasterclass.com.
You're watching VOBS.TV. I don't know why. It's crazy what they do here. I think I'm going to go somewhere else and have a cheese sandwich.
And we are back with Jordan Reynolds, Uncle Roy Yokelson, and Cliff Zelman, our Audio Masters Roundtable. And we got a bunch more questions from our amazing audience out there in internet land.
You really should be here live, though, because the commercial break conversations are amazing.
We got one from the lovely Tracy Reynolds. Apparently, her kids must have gone to bed.
If you use a debreather or debreather, if you have a person that knows how to read, like me, if you use a debreather, like in her case, well, Tracy's a man, right?
No.
Yeah. Yes.
Tracy Reynolds? Reynolds is a woman.
I thought this was a guy.
I sold Tracy my NS10s.
Tracy, I'm so sorry.
Like that.
I can't remember.
She's a mother of five.
Okay. Well, whichever Tracy you are. Using Waves as the plugin, do you use it before or after any other processing?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think of debreathers as an editing thing. So I'm
post.
If I'm clicking, declicking, or debreathing, it's happening during the editing process.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the sweetening, whatever you want to call it, mastering is at the end. That's the way I think.
So before.
Before. I guess that's
all the other compressing.
Are you guys on the same page on that?
I agree.
Yeah.
But part of me
I try not to use deep breathing.
Yeah, me too. You know,
I highlight, pull it down, highlight, pull it down.
I need all the breath I can get.
Yeah.
When you're producing vehicle spots, you can take the time if you're doing e-learning. Yes. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I've got the luxury of doing 30s and 60s.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You can cut a half second off real easy that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My post. Is a little different.
Sure. How about you, Jordan?
From the little I've experimented with debreathers, I've just been so quickly disappointed with.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that they're terrible, but it's like, you know, I'll be listening for 2 minutes. I'm like, whoa, every breath is gone, and then like minute three, it's like that was, you know, a real word. And oh, there's another word. Oh, and no, yes. banana is not a breath. That's a word, you know. So,
exactly right. Like, this is the problem with this tool, in my opinion.
It's
no
risky.
Matter who makes it, it's not a, you can't trust it.
No, it's not predictable.
It's like magic when it works, and then that 1 in 20 times where it screws up, you better know. So now you got to go back and listen to everything.
Yeah, if you're not listening back time, after, don't just apply all and
one pass of deep breathing ain't going to fix it.
No.
You know?
Right.
And if it
not
does
only
fix
that,
it, you're too much.
Not only that, because I like to deal with them on a breath by breath basis.
Mm-hmm.
If you just silence it, we're waiting too long to hear the next thing. Mm-hmm. Because if the breath is there, okay, we heard something. But if you put silence in there, or the breath is brought down that much, I'm waiting too long to hear the next thing. So I always, you know, if it's, for instance, if the breath was 0.6 seconds, I'll put 0.4 seconds and I'll put room tone in, and you know.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the room tone method.
Only on audiobooks. No, not otherwise. It's insert silent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if on a corporate narration or something like that, I will usually highlight it and take it down 15 dB, which makes it sound more natural. You know, although I tend to take very
deep breaths so I can, you know, do an entire paragraph.
Cliff Zelman method.
Turn blue.
Yeah. Or the breath looks like a little football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can put a, if you can highlight it, your, a dot here, and then just bring down the center, all you really want to do is bring down the energy of the breath. You don't really want to bring down the sound because it's very natural, but just the energy. And when you got the little football going across either side of the football, bring down the center. Instead of it going like this, it now goes like that. And then you can just bring it down a little bit, keep it natural.
Make it pancake.
Boy, Uncle Roy, you know, the cardinal sin is inserting silence with, you know, leader, plastic leader. I don't know, you just did not do it.
Leader,
you know,
tape.
Yeah, leader tape was new. It's, you know, kind of same thing, you know, with digital. Just bring it down.
I'm old. Ron M says, can you start getting stickers from each of these gurus? That way we can cover our boobs with them and look like a race car.
Nice.
Good idea. I have stickers. Tim Kelly says, terrible problems with Fs. Like in future, find us from, it's from,
like, well, city F syndrome.
Sounds
city F.
Odd. I usually chop out the middle of the F in the editor. I'm using a Rode NTG3, which sounds nice. Sounds lovely.
What's your favorite DSer, Jordan?
Oh, God. I have so many. My current favorite is the Wave Sibilance. It's like a year or two old. It's just got, it's one of the most natural sounding ones. Before that, I was using the Eiosis?
Yeah, EY. That was the hot one a couple of years
ago. Yeah, where it's very visual and it shows the energy of it in certain places. That I like that one. But honestly, in my production, not in auditions and stuff, but in demo production, I'm using usually two or three DSers. Mm-hmm. Either of the same brand, but usually I'm using two to three different brands very gently. Because I never have one that just, especially for female voices, I never have one that does it all perfect. And I am also manually automating the S, just like you do with the breath. I go in and turn down those S's, and then I do even crazier stuff, which I won't go on. S's are very, I'm sensitive.
Yeah. I find that sibilance is, you know, it's a really weird phenomenon because it's different with everybody.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, and with some mics, people are sibilant, and with the same mic, other people are not.
Yep.
It's really weird. And how do you deal with it? And I guess, you know, if you have a plugin that's going to clean that up, that helps, you know.
If you deal with it as energy, I mean, and that's really what it is. maybe, have you ever used the Fab filters, Jordan?
I only use their compressor and EQ. I haven't dropped the money on the DSer yet.
If everybody out there in VOBS land wants to download a demo, definitely check out the Fab Filters DSer. It is fabulous, fabulous.
Is it complicated?
You
know,
you don't wanna go... No, in fact, you start with the default, and then you bring up or down the range, up or down the threshold, and then of course you can dive in deeper with advanced stuff, but you don't really need to do that. It's very natural and it's very clean, and all it's really doing is finding, like I've been saying, you know, the last couple minutes, is finding that energy. And you can certainly see it on a graph, and it just brings it right down.
Being that you guys are pretty opinionated about these things, what's one you really should not use? I have my opinion, but what's a DS, and you're like, oh my god, avoid.
What's Renaissance fun? Is not my favorite. It was for, you know, I used it for a while. It's a little harsh.
Uh huh.
Yeah. I like the Waves $29 DSer.
No, one that you don't like.
What's I know, but I didn't get to say.
Oh, I'm
what
sorry.
I like. That's okay.
I'm a jerk. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I didn't raise my hand. You know.
The Waves DSer for $29.
$29. Sometimes you can even get it a little cheaper. And second choice is the one that Jordan said, the Wave Sibilance one.
Yeah.
And like Jordan and probably Cliff, treat the raw voice file and then put it in multi-track and put another layer of processing on top of that. You know, so we have a couple of different ways of treating the S's and stuff.
Man, you guys are thorough.
We're animals.
There is a EQ that you can set up,
right?
And it's a
parametric
EQ,
right?
And you can set a threshold to the amount of we'll just pull that down, and you can actually see it when you see the spike in the spectrum. You can just zero in, pull that down, anything, you know, find your threshold and just get it to dip a little bit. But that's really all the de-esser is doing. It's just a specific frequency compressor.
It's a compressor with a side chain.
Yeah, that's
and
really
the side
all
chain
is
this little way that the audio goes in, goes out through something else. That other thing is an equalizer. The equalizer passes a series of frequencies, whatever you set it to, and then on the way back through, it gets compressed. The one that's terrible that I haven't been able to figure out how to get to not make a complete mess is Audacity's de-esser.
I've never even heard of
it. I don't know about that. Use that with your USB.
I mean, God bless them. They make a free program.
Yeah,
and they make
free.
They add stuff all the time, but it's designed by a bunch of computer geeks, and they not by audio engineers. Clearly, based on the tools that they
no,
like the compressor has one setting for attack and release.
Awesome.
It's one slider.
Right? Okay.
It's like one thing I really it's like a golf car, like with one gas pedal for the if your car had one pedal. I don't know. Yeah. That's not a good analogy because Tesla does that. But yeah, not it they haven't gotten it right yet.
Audacity, what's really what I do use Audacity for is for the speed change. If I
Is bizarrely good.
It's really good, I don't use it on voiceover so much, but
you mean
if I'm doing dance
time
music,
compression?
Time compression. Yeah. Audacity is really good.
Wow,
yeah. Mostly can't hear it.
Stumbled onto that.
Yeah, so they found some source code that actually worked.
Yeah,
I don't know. Sorry, but I don't think we really answered the dude's question because this was about
bad
F, the letter F.
We went on a rant
Frank.
About sibilance.
And then
different frequency.
And yeah, so
it's a de-esser can be tuned to calm an F.
Yeah,
it down.
I think as both a voice talent and a producer, I think what he might be hearing there's a range of F problems that can have. Sounds funny, but
F problems.
But I think you're either you have like a, I call them sloppy Fs where they sound wet. And so if you look at the waveform, instead of it being like a football, like a smooth S, it's got like little spikes in it. That could be happening. That's, you know, has to do with your anatomy and your pronunciation. So you can work on that. But if they're a little wet and like and just kind of gross sounding, you can
Wait a minute. Wait. Did you just say pronunciation?
Enunciation? Yeah. I made up. I make up words.
We knew what he meant.
I know. That's one of my made up words. Yeah, you're right.
It's my dad. It's my dad joke gene. I have to harp on stuff like that.
No. So
he's
I need
the
to
pronouncer
be out
right now. He's the pronouncer.
Thanks,
sorry,
George.
I'm sorry, dude. Go
I'm
ahead.
Not red.
Finish.
No, but if it's like I call it like a wet F, there's not a whole lot you can do about it other than like you can take an EQ and soften the top end. You can run
there's
a declicker on it.
Garbage in a wet F, right? It's like there's all this different frequency material. Yeah.
Exactly. So I do is I just I grab the middle of it. So you highlight it. And because if it's long and you just delete it, so the F is still apparent that
that's
it's
exactly
an F.
That's exactly what he said.
Yeah, because it's a lead into an F. Because you're a
And but sometimes the middle of it's wet too.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
that's
you can shorten
he said
it.
He was doing.
Yeah, okay. I do the same thing, but I don't take out the middle. I'll take out the beginning, and then with the upper corner tool on Pro Tools, ramp up a volume.
A quick fade.
So sure. Because the all that stuff is coming before the actual
true. Yeah,
50. So if you clip off all that stuff, just give it a haircut right up, and then just. Go to the upper left-hand corner with the super tool if you're in Pro Tools and just do a, just drag over, get a little ramp up in volume and that becomes forward and it's beautiful.
Yeah, like crossfade.
Taking out the middle of S's also helps a lot.
Yeah.
Taking out the center of an S and having it shut.
Yeah.
Or center of a breath. But I think we said that already.
Yeah.
Got one more question from Paul Stefano.
How much time we got?
We got enough time
this
to
I could talk about for a long
time. We could. I have some thoughts on that too, so. Go for it.
Paul asks, what is everybody's opinion on DSP processing on audio, as in the universal audio plugins? So more like the recording through a processor that's an emulation of real equipment. That kind of, I think that's what he's getting at.
Is it
so
necessary for voiceover?
Anybody, and you guys using that in your production workflow?
both me
you're
and
talking about UAD plugins?
UAD plugins, Apollo stuff, that
we
kind of
pray, we drop on our knees and we pray to you, AD Plugins. I've got the DBX-160. I swear to God, I haven't heard that thing in 20 years. And I plugged it in, not that I'd ever use it, but I plugged it in and it was a DBX-160. I mean, it's, I love UAD. I love everything Universal Audio does. But, and I'm not even a sponsor.
Yeah, we remember we were in the
love them all,
the UA booth at NAMM last year.
Yeah,
and they had the shootout with is this what which mic yeah. was it?
They had a four pieces. It was a four different pieces of gear
right.
Blind A/B test.
You know, digital versus analog
hardware.
Yeah, and they had like an LA-2A, a real one.
Oh my God!
And then you would just choose which one you liked, and at the end they would say you got two out of four right.
That's awesome.
Like, give you a shot glass, and it was freaking cool.
That was a fun booth.
As it pertains to a word like a voice talent who isn't super techie or nerdy, I believe because a lot, I think a lot of talent have the Universal Audio, the Apollo Twins now, or the Arrow, right? Yeah. It's so good for just a straight up voiceover studio, but you can run like a virtual preamp now or a compressor and all that. So I think I feel much more strongly on this than not that you should hire someone like us to tune it for you.
Oh, yeah.
The preamps are a little less risky.
Either have us tune it or don't use anything.
Yeah,
just use it as an interface.
Yeah,
one or the other.
But if you want to use it to be permanent going in, it's great to like smooth out certain things, but you really got to have a pro do it if you don't know what you're doing. Otherwise it's going to, some of them can distort really easily. The compressor that's built, because a lot of them are channel strips, which is not just a preamp, but it's the compressor, it's an EQ. And a lot of those things are on by default and you can't tell because there's so many knobs. They're really busy.
Yeah.
So you can just be very careful, like experiment, like learn, but don't start applying it on stuff you send out. Hire someone like us to really tweak it for you. To get
plus one for George Whittam stacks.
Yeah, well, I mean, stacks, whatever it is. But I mean, in the case, I've been like changing my mind about the UAD processing for voiceover. And it's because I've had a client come to me that had somebody else set it up for them. And even though I was telling clients similar advice as this other fellow was, hearing it from the other side, from a third party, made me realize that what I'm telling people can be difficult. So I was putting in, you know, a preamp and maybe a compressor and an EQ. And then they would say, well, how do I change the levels? And I'd be like, well, if you turn the gain, you're actually just increasing the input to the compressor, which is effectively changing the threshold. And then it's like
pressing more,
like head explodes, right? If you got an Apollo, you want to be able to just turn the damn mic up and down with that knob.
Right, exactly.
And if you've got all that stuff inserted, it doesn't necessarily do that. If you're using an EQ, fine. But if you're using compression and limiters and stuff, and I love the LA-2 legacy thing. It's amazing. And
I do too.
It's then if they're using the LA-2, I have to say, okay, so when you want to adjust the level, you're going to go to the gain knob on the LA-2A, which is actually the output knob, which is totally confusing and blah. It just makes people's melt down. So
hit record,
turn off all that crap. Just turn on the preamp, use the native pre, and just record until you get to this point where you're doing a lot of high pace, just in time. Got to turn it around. You're looking at any way to shave time off production. Then I think it makes sense to start doing the front end stuff like that.
Yeah, this is a luxury. It's a toy, what we're talking about. I can't think of any instance where these UAD plugins that you run live and it's permanent to tape, right? In the recording, you can't fix
forever.
It. These are all luxury things. Not meaning like it's unattainable. I just mean like none of them are fixing an inherent problem that you may already have in your audio. Like these are like, oh, I kind of want it to sound a bit more warm in the mid range, or you know, there's like a de-esser and stuff like that. That'll help with some sip, but that's like about it. You know, and a high pass filter, but that you don't need a plug-in for that. There's a built-in high pass filter on most mics, on higher end mics, or built-in on every preamp.
99.9% of what most of you're doing is going to be, you can fix it in post a little bit.
And that, exactly.
But wasn't the question, do we like the emulation compared to the hardware?
That wasn't exactly the question, but basically, what do you think of those plugins? I think is essentially what Paul is saying, and I think we've pretty much said we think they're pretty damn good.
But yeah, they're not. They're not
really good.
Yeah,
you know it's the funnest thing I ever do. It's time to wrap this up.
Yeah, but go ahead.
The funnest thing I get to do as a tech now is someone goes and buys the whole kit, which is the Apollo Twin and a Townsend Labs Spear L22.
We got,
and they set it up
like,
and then I can from my studio over Source Connect point the mic wherever I want, change the proximity effect, change the models, create a whole chain. My one client bought the Oceanway plugins. Yep. He bought a whole freaking
Maris got them all.
Oh my god,
dude! She's that like is, she spends more time tweaking all her mics and playing with them than getting work done.
Mara needs nothing.
It's I know bad. She doesn't need it, but she
it's bad.
Yeah,
it. But it's so good.
And it,
yeah,
anyway,
it's
so fun. Yeah.
So in conclusion, and I think people need to remember that all of this stuff was designed for musicians for recording
producers.
Music and people producers, people who know their stuff, people who have been doing it for years and years and years and understand how they are bending the sound and how they are changing it. When you're in your closet doing voiceover work, these should really be the last of your concerns. But if you're geeky and you want to have fun and you want to learn how to do it, you got to go out and you got to go out and play. But I wouldn't risk, you know, a nice good job on it because, like, oh, this is going to be really cool.
Most of the microphones were not designed for voiceover. They were designed for music recording.
Right.
Unless you're going back to ribbons and stuff like that.
Which are fine. But anyway. So, final word, Jordan, quickly.
On what?
I don't know. How does one get a hold of you?
Oh, it's... Google Jordan Reynolds.
That's
probably
Jordan, that's how I found
JordanReynolds.com. Yeah. I'm mostly active on Instagram if you want to get my attention.
He likes cats.
Like cats. Yeah. I love my cat. I'm a cat daddy. I'm a convert. It's Mara's cat.
Yeah. Uncle Cliff. Roy.
Uncle Roy. Sorry.
Hope to see everybody at VO Atlanta and other conferences that I'm not allowed to talk about because we're under contract with VO Atlanta. Ooh.
Until VO Atlanta is over.
Right. And see everybody at my house October 3rd and 4th.
Yay.
Hi. Barbecue. Try and make it this year.
VO BBS.
And how do they get a hold of you?
Antlandproductions.com.
All right.
Cliff.
I hope to see everybody too at VO Atlanta. We're going to be doing some things a little bit different. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can get in touch with me. 24/7 email address, czellman10@gmail.com, and visit a-amazingdemos.com to hear some fun stuff. So thank you guys for having us on.
All right. Well, this is John. A little bit on the geeky end towards the end, but you know,
like, damn it.
But you
found time.
Yeah. I know how you love that stuff. Anyway, we'll be back to wrap things up into a nice tight little ball right after this.
This is Ariana Ratner, and you're listening to VoiceOver Body Shop, VOBS.TV.
VoiceOverEssentials.com is still ringing in the new year. And for a short time only, get their improved voice-optimized headphones, these right here, at a special 2020 savings. The VoiceOver Headphones 2.0. The latest edition of their best-selling voice-optimized headphones have arrived with 100% accurate, transparent sound and the creature comforts voice actors deserve. None of the booming bass or shrill high-end found in other headphones, coupled with engineering that makes them an absolute joy to wear. Enhancements to the 2.0 headphones include a thicker, more comfortable headband, plus a new combo coiled straight cord with mini plugs and a 1/4-inch screw-on adapter, and a thicker felt-lined travel pouch. The fold flat ear cup design gives the 2.0 cans a smaller footprint when traveling. And most importantly, we've boosted the mid-range clarity with reduced bass. These are usually $149. Now, 2020 off, $129.88. Sort of. This introductory offer only lasts for a short time, so order now. It features the studio monitoring headphones, closed back over-ear design, more comfortable, thicker padded leather headband, leather-covered memory foam ear pads, and includes 2 gold-plated mini plugs and a studio standard 1/4-inch screw-on adapter. New headphones mini jack for cord replacements. It comes out just like that. Go over to voiceoveressentials.com right now and buy them while they're on sale.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready, don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey, everybody, it's time to talk about Source Elements. You know who they are, the creators of Source Connect, that tool that you don't have. What? You don't have it? You should have it. It's that tool that allows you to connect your studio to other studios around the world so they can record you from your booth. It's a tool you should have because even if you're not being asked for it now, you might be asked for it tomorrow or in a month or in a year. You want to have it ready to go and know how to use it. It's really the heir apparent to ISDN technology, and it is definitely what the pros are using. You can go ahead and sign up for a 15-day free trial of Source Connect over at sourceelements.com. Get it up and running. Get your iLock account in order. There's a little video on there. I'll teach you how to do it by yours truly. And it'll help you get up and running so you can understand how it all works. Then that day that you get the gig, you can activate the license. It's a no-brainer. Give it a try. Thanks for your support, Source Elements, and we'll see you right after this break.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer, and you are watching VoiceOver Body Shop. It's great.
Well, that was fun. we're a little off center there, but that's okay. Anyhow, that was a total geek out.
Oh, man.
And I know how you love geeking out. Was it good for you?
That's right. Over here, man.
next week, another great guest. And there's a guest, somebody you'd like to see on the show, let us know. Write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And say, hey, I want to hear this person. I got a lot of people lined up. We're just trying to get the dates in.
Yeah, it's busy time of year. Yeah. He's working.
Which is good. Yeah, work is good.
Yeah.
Who are our donors this week?
Our donors include Antland Productions. Who's that guy? Graham Spicer, Joseph Harrison, Christy Burns, Michael Kearns, Karen O'Brien. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
She's a sweetie.
We love you.
Harlow Rodriguez, Don Griffith, and Martha Kahn.
All right.
Another sweetie friend of
yours. Yes, Icon Productions.
She's the best.
All right. Hey, show us your booths. It's fun to be out in the universe, floating around. You know, I've always wondered what it would be like out in space. But send us your booths. Show us what you're doing. Even if it's a closet, but just make sure it's in landscape. Not portrait. We got to plug ourselves real quick.
Okay. I'm George the Tech. You can find me at georgethe.tech because, you know, short domains. But if that makes your head melt, it's georgethetech.com. And I've got menus on there of lots of services, probably too many options. So then you'll go to the contact page where you'll send me a message and ask me which of the 73 different things I have on there they should probably do, which happens a lot. And that's totally fine. But you can send me files for sound checking or have stacks done, tune in your Apollo plugins, whatever. It's all on there. Dan's website is
voiceoverstudio.com. Yes. Head on over there. Love working with beginners. If you have no idea what you're doing, I can help you out. I have a degree in education, so I can actually teach this stuff and get you where you need to be. And you can drop off your audio using my specimen collection cup, $25. I will analyze your current audio, and we'll see if it's up to snuff or whatever it's supposed to be.
Whistle.
Whistle. What it's supposed to sound like. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We need to thank our sponsors. You go first this
again.
Time.
Okay, Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VoiceOverHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos. Mm-hmm. When quality matters. Also, the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the Betterment of Live and Recorded Webcasting. And Sumer Lino for amazing work dealing with these five maniacs tonight, trying to get stuff together so you can all understand it. Well, if by chance you are a voice actor, you've come to the right place. This is not an easy business, but we're here to help you make it sound good. Because if it sounds good,
it's probably pretty good.
All right. Thanks to all our guests tonight. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
I just did that. I'm George Whittam. Let's take that again.
I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. Yes. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time.